not on you. That's okay. All righty. The Old Testament scripture comes from 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 1, 6, 22 through 30. This reading can be found on page 311 of your Pew Bible. If you'd like to take that out today to follow along, that would be great. Again, that's page 311 in the Old Testament section of your Pew Bible. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the leaders of the ancestral houses of the Israelites, before King Solomon in Jerusalem, to bring up the Ark of the Covenant to the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Then the priests brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place in the inner sanctuary of the house, in the most holy place, underneath the wings of the cherubim. Solomon's Prayer of Dedication. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands to heaven. He said, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and steadfast love for your servants who walk before you with all their heart, the covenant that you kept for your servant my father David, as you declared to him, you promised with your mouth and have to this day fulfilled with your hand. Therefore, O Lord, God of Israel, keep for your servant my father David that which you promised him, saying, there shall never fail you a successor before me to sit on the throne of Israel, if only your children look to their way to walk before me as you have walked before me. Therefore, O God of Israel, let your word be confirmed, which you promised to your servant, my father David. But will God indeed dwell on earth? Even heaven, the highest heaven, cannot contain you, much less this house that I have built. Regard your servant's prayer and his plea, O Lord God, heeding the cry, the prayer that your servant prays to you today, that your eyes may be open night and day toward this house, the place of which you said, my name shall be there, that you may heed the prayer that your servant prays toward this place. Hear the plea of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. O, hear in heaven your dwelling place, heed and forgive. The second reading comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, and may be found on page 195 of the New Testament section in your Pew Bible so that you can follow along. Again, that is page 195. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. Here ends the reading, the word of God for the people of God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. If you look at that, 1 Kings chapter 8, and you look at verse 25 through 26. Therefore, O Lord, God of Israel, keep your servant, my father David, keep for your servant, my father David, that which you promised him, saying, there shall never fail you a successor before me to sit on the throne of Israel, if only your children will look to their way to walk before me as you have walked before me. Gary Liberman came and preached a couple of years ago during a revival for us. And one of the keynotes of that revival and his preaching was that God's love is unconditional. God loves us. God loves us whether we're doing right or doing wrong. He doesn't appreciate what we're doing, if it's wrong, if it violates his tenets, or if we're hurting someone, or being disobedient. His love is unconditional, but the blessings are conditional. Look at what comes to us in that 2 Kings. The promise of God was that no one coming after King David would fail. There was a blessing promised, but there was a condition with that promise. If only those people would walk in the way and stay true to God. You see, God's love for us is unconditional. But the blessing is on a condition that we adhere to what God has taught us to do. And that's, and why? Jesus gives us what? He paraphrases the Ten Commandments, which the Jewish world looked at. You know, the first ten are how, first four are how we follow and keep God and stay in relationship with Him. And the other six are how we stay in relationship, a right relationship with our brothers and sisters. Now, following that keeps us, at least gives us a guideline on what to do. But how many of us can follow it? For each and every one of us, one or several or all of them has been a challenge for us that we've maybe not measured up to. That doesn't stop God loving you, nor diminish His love for you. When Jesus was challenged and they said, what's the greatest commandment? They were hoping to trap Him. He says, love thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy strength, and love thy neighbor as self. And then, if that wasn't good enough for him, he said all of the commandments are captured and met if you do these. Because if you have God in your heart and you love Him, bless you, with heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know what? It's not something that you mindlessly go and do. God wants your mind, He wants your intellect to know and understand as much as you can about the blessings that He has given and about the conditions on which He wants you to operate. Well, somebody raised a question, well, who's my neighbor? Love thy neighbor as thyself. And then we have the Good Samaritan parable that comes out of that. Jesus was good at telling people things and phrases and ideas that they could capture and understand. And that's pretty much what Paul is doing in this passage in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. And most of us have read it. You know, how many of you as a kid in Sunday school had or saw a cartoon or some character or some doll figure where they went through Ephesians 6, 10 through 20? The full armor of God. Take on the full armor of God. But let's go through this whole scripture. I was quick last night, so you know I'm going to be really quick this morning. That was quick. Yeah. I'll be quicker this morning. Not. Verse 10, for those of you who have opened your Bibles. And I encourage you, I'm going to start. This is going to be my thing I want to do from now on is when we look at those scriptures. And actually, if you've seen me preach, heard me preach, I'm not making stuff up. There's a lot of good material out there, but you look at the scripture and I try to unpack it as best I can so that we can understand, because that's what we're supposed to be doing in here, is getting in the Word. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His power. Now, is he talking about your strength? Is he talking about your power? No. We're talking about the Creator's power. God. He spoke into the darkness, into the void where there was nothing and everything was created. Whether it took him 6 days, literally, or thousands of what we call years, it's immaterial. He spoke, it happened. He's got the power. And we walk by faith. Choir's supposed to say, walk by faith. Anyway. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, some translations say the panoply of God. And what that means is the whole suit of armor. Because he gives you a series, a number of pieces of armor that a Roman soldier or a soldier of that day and age would wear for protection, for both attack and defense. But that's not all of them. I mean, if you're a student of history, you know there are a few pieces that are missing here. But what Paul does is he gives us metaphorically the things that we're supposed to do as Christians. And it is relevant today as it was then. Put on the whole armor of God. My favorite two words. So that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Who are we fighting? Satan. And you know what? We are not equipped to fight that battle on our own. It is a loss. He will twist us. He will turn us on our heads. And he will defeat us and put us in such anguish and despair that we might even take our own lives. That's the power of Satan. Whether it's by drugs, whether it's by alcohol, whether it's depression or what have you, that's the power of Satan. And you don't fight that alone. Because if you do, he wins. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh. Now, we are going to encounter people who hate and have anger and want to hurt you and hurt others and those that just aren't good people. And we're supposed to encounter them and defend ourselves against them as best we can without being violent. Maybe as a last resort, we have to defend ourselves, and that might entail some violence. But the struggles, the most important and the most powerful and damaging struggles that we're going to have are not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness. And yeah, that was 2,000 years ago, but you look in the... Anybody read a newspaper, read a blog, looked at the newspaper, turned the TV on, watched the news? You don't think there's darkness out there? I mean, the adage, if it bleeds, it leads. Goodness gracious. They have taken that to the nth degree. Virtually everything is a statement of someone's anger, someone's violence, somebody being offended, grievously by something or someone else says or does. Now, you don't think you can handle that without something that's more powerful than anything else in the world? I'm telling you, you need this. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, again, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, having done everything to stand firm. Stand therefore, verse 14, fasten the belt of truth around your waist. Well, most soldiers would wear either a leather jerkin or a leather coat of some sort over their bodies. And they would cinch that up with a belt. Now, how many people are into Pilates and yoga and physical fitness? Almost all of the fitness trainers tell you to do what? Concentrate on your core. Your stomach, your chest, your back. All of that that's your core, because from that is your power, your breathing, so on and so forth. Well, you cinch that belt up and you're grounded and strengthened at your core. And what is the core? What is that? What is that? It's a belt of truth. Well, you know, you don't have to run too far to find out, well, what is truth? Truth is not relative. Okay? There are a lot of people out there that say, well, it depends on what your circumstances are or what truth is. I'm sorry. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. Therefore, when we belt up and cinch up with this belt of truth, who have we got with us? Jesus. That's our strength. That's what keeps us knit. That's what stabilizes our core in all that we do. And put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, he didn't say self-righteousness here. Okay? There are things that are going to be thrown at you, and don't be, oh, I'm self-righteous, you know, whether you're offended or not. There are things that people are going to throw at you, and sometimes you just have to be in a right relationship. You know what righteousness is? It's being in a right relationship with God. You know what? Abraham, the Jews, you know what Abraham was counted to him as righteousness? His faith in God. That when God told him something was going to happen and told him to go, he went. Because when God told him something was happening, it happened. And he had absolute faith in it. That's why he had a right relationship with God. So when we put on that breastplate of righteousness, what are we doing? We're remaining in a right relationship with God. Now, we do that because we love our neighbor as ourselves. And we love God with all our heart, which is under that breastplate. All of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And we've got something to cover the helmet here. That helmet of salvation. So that's going to cover the brain. So we put on this breastplate of righteousness. And as shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. Now, how are you going to proclaim the gospel of peace if you haven't opened that or made the 66 books that are in it part and parcel of your life? Don't be throwing it away. But you know, the book can survive. People have been burning it, tearing it, and shredding it for centuries. And it's still here. That's what we put on our feet. Why? Because we can stand on that. We get a good foundation on that. And what are we supposed to do? Here's the other thing. We're not just got a weapon. We're not just defending ourselves. What are we doing? It says, proclaim the gospel of peace. Because there's an activity that we have to perform. And that's proclaim the gospel of peace. Now, do you think you're going to proclaim the gospel of peace if you just sit down and don't say nothing? I know, that's bad English. But if you're not proclaiming it, now, some people can actually proclaim it even if they don't have a voice. What speaks louder than words? Actions. With all of these, take the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Again, who's shooting these flaming arrows at you? The devil is. And what do you have to defend you? The shield of faith. Again, just like that breastplate of righteousness, this shield of faith, it's a shield because it's our faith in whom? He who has triumphed. He who can do all things. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. It's not by my strength alone. It's by Him empowering me. And His shield, my faith in Him, is my shield. Take the helmet of salvation. Now, I've taken a few knocks on my head, some self-inflicted. I've bumped into more closet doors and car doors and other sharp objects than I care to recount, as well as a few combings on entryways between hatches and doors and spaces on board ship. I have the scars and the medical record to prove that. But this helmet of salvation is not just something that we can put on as a piece of armor to protect us from the scars and the bruises. It's our salvation. It's what we know and understand protects us so that we can love God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, when you're going to get in a battle with Satan, and some of you have already battled him before, whether it's despair, darkness, drugs, alcohol, loss, grief, whatever face or shape or form Satan takes, the most effective weapon against that enemy is the Word of God. It's a word of love. It's a word of peace. It's a word of acceptance. But it's also a word of guidance on what we're supposed to do, what we're not supposed to do, and how we're to remain holy. And here the most important part of it. This is verse 18. Pray in the Spirit at all times and in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplications for all the saints. How many of you read the sign today? Pray in the Spirit. Last week was the Spirit in you. Now you pray in the Spirit. Because the Spirit is God's comforter and counselor and advocate. Jesus said when He ascended that I go to the Father that He might send a comforter, an advocate, a counselor for you. The Holy Spirit is here just as He was on Pentecost like a rushing wind. And where there were two or three gather in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He is there. You can take that on faith. It puts you in a right relationship. It cues you into the faith of your relationship with God, which gives you salvation. And it surrounds you with truth. And it gives you the shoes, the good news that you need to walk on wherever you go and whoever you encounter, so that you can present and proclaim what? The gospel of peace. Pray in the Spirit. Pray always in supplication for all the saints. Now, He didn't say just the ones you like. Didn't say just the people who look like you or me or believe like you or me, whether you're on the left or the right, whatever that means. all. Pray in the Spirit. Put on the full armor of God.